The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime. And yes, we are 1 week away. 1 week away from Canada's kickoff at the 2026 World Cup. Oh, it's been a long time coming, people. Amy Walsh, Daniel Wong, Gregory Foresto.
Starting to feel the pressure.
Somewhere in New York.
Are you?
Well, not me. Not for myself, but just...
I think so. I think it is for yourself.
The moment.
I think FIFA games that you have to call.
Yeah.
All the work we're going to be doing with Footy Prime, you're feeling the pressure.
There's no pressure. Craig, you know, take yourself back to when you were playing, right? No matter how big the match was, it's just like any other football match. Preparation should be the same. And then, of course, I imagine you step out onto the pitch and go, oh, fuck.
This ain't
no normal football match.
Yeah. Well, it happens all the time. Like goalkeepers, you know that people are looking at your body language and, you know, all those types of things that go into the game. Are you showing pressure and all that? And you try not to, and you kind of act through it, you know, but sometimes you're inside your head. It's like the legs of a duck under the water, like just – everything's going crazy. You know, like sometimes you feel it's almost like you're in a third world situation or like a twilight zone. But you do get through it. Max is going to feel that.
Yeah, Max will feel that, I'm sure. But he's done it. I mean, listen, Copa America is not the World Cup, but it's pretty bloody big. Mm-hmm. And they played some pretty bloody big teams in that tournament.
Yeah.
And Max came through beautifully. So we now know, Dubs. Oh, God damn it. That was a long process, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who's going to be number one? And then we're waiting there. You and I were in the press conference waiting there. Who's going to walk in beside Jesse? And we kind of thought it would be Max, and we were right. We were right, Dubs.
We
crushed it.
Because that's what's most important.
Most important, how we look.
It's funny, though, because there's like a little, literally quite a like a small window that you could see out of the press room, and you would have seen them walk in. And Josh Cloak was sitting in front of us. He's like, I saw Max. And I think, you know, while it was really, really closely contested and this went right down to the wire, and Jesse mentioned the fact that it was the toughest decision he's ever had to make as a coach, I think everybody knew that it was going to be Max. Mm. I think also on the inside. And it's like Dane has got to be gutted. But Jesse mentioned that he spoke to the team, I think the morning yesterday or before training, and was very eloquent, was very kind of generous with his words of support for Max. And I think it would have been the same had it been Dane named, right? They would have been equally shattered for it not to be them, but equally as supportive to make sure that they're on board this train, you know, to lead this team to success. But I think had that announcement had been Dane, like if he'd been sitting in front, I think that the narrative today would be very different. I think everybody would be talking about, you know, the fact that he's number one, he's going to get the gloves. And you look at their metrics, you look at their numbers behind the performances, because I think they've played almost exactly split. You know, if Jesse Marsh has coached 30 matches, it's almost 15-15. Including the split on Monday night's game versus Uzbekistan. But Max, to me, in the Canada shirt just comes up big every single time. And I think the guys on the inside know that as well. So I think there would have been a difference, maybe a little bit of doubt that maybe wouldn't have been visible or evident early on, but I think it would have come back to bite them. So I think this is the right decision to have Max have the gloves.
I agree with Jesse, because I think it probably was the hardest decision maybe not of his career, but certainly a very, very difficult decision. There's not a lot in it between them. And like you say, they've split games and, you know, it comes down to challenge to this. And you talk about Copa, and I think that plays a part too, you know, how he plays with a Canada jersey on. It's something different. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's getting smashed at Orlando. And, you know, I've been in touch with them off and on through the Orlando experience, and his attitude is pretty special. Like how he deals with that, you know, he's conceding 3 goals a game, he's getting smashed, getting 10 shots a game, and he's just like, yeah, just keep going. The team's got to get better. We got to get better. We got to, as a unit. It's all about the, you know, that and as a group, and not so much him, but dealing with things that he can deal with. As a goalkeeper, you can't make things happen. You almost have to let things happen around you. Because if you try to make things happen, you're trying to do things that are just a little bit, you know, you're trying to do defender's work and things like that. You can't do that. You just have to let things happen and just do it. You can't really affect the game in a way that an outplayer has. And you have to understand that. And he does. Like somebody that I've never really come across before under the situation. He's been through an awful lot, right? When he, in the finals a few years ago, 22, they win it, the MLS Cup. He breaks his arm, misses the World Cup.
Breaks his leg, wasn't it?
His leg.
Oh, his leg, sorry. Yeah, and he misses the World Cup. Comes back, then he ends up at Portland against another Canadian goalkeeper who he seems to lose out to. I'm not sure if that was a contractual thing or whatever. It just worked out that. But Pantemis basically won that position in Portland. Goes to Orlando, getting absolutely smashed every week, conceding 3 goals, but just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. Just shows you, you just never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and especially in the last year, I would say before Jesse Marsh announced that he was going to choose a number one goalkeeper. And then that was in November or whenever it was. And then it was pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. I think it did them both good that they were competing on the inside, that nobody had the certainty of being named the number one. But within all of this now, with the injuries and the storm and the uncertainty, is Max, and he's calmness personified. And so Jesse Marsh keeps talking about staying calm and, you know, sticking to what we know and the conviction of just the belief in ourselves to be able to get this job done. And if you have Max in between the sticks, I think you're doing something right because you have that energy and that calmness and that vibe to make sure that this team is being led in the right way.
Yeah. And if anybody was going to crumble, he had times that he could easily have crumbled, and he didn't. He didn't. So you know he's not going to do that against Bosnia. He's going to come out with his shoulders back.
Jesse says, as you mentioned there, that it's the toughest decision of his career. Really, it's the easiest, right? Because he said he couldn't make a wrong choice.
Yeah.
But I know what he means. We all know what he means. Max, you said there how he's facing 10 shots a game and he's conceding 3 goals a game. But he also said yesterday that it was a monumental move for him. Going to Orlando, he knew he had to get minutes. Now, when you say, I don't know whether it was contractual or not in Portland, that tells me that you know it was contractual in Portland. But regardless, he wasn't the guy. And he made a move to a team which Jesse Marsh actually said on the press conference has a terrible defense. So does Miami. I found that really funny because I saw Max's face and he looked over and he starts smiling at him and goes, oh, Christ, thanks, Jesse. Thanks for that.
I think he took the opportunity to have a drink when that happened. He's just like, huh? Right.
You know, it reminds me of, I had a really tough decision. I don't know if you guys knew about this, but when I was in high school, I lived in Beverly Hills. My family moved there. And there were these two really cute girls in high school named Brenda and Kelly. And it was really hard to make a decision about which one to date. And this is what happened. They actually made a show about it.
No. See, Brandon moved there with Brenda. He was not dating Brenda as his sister.
God.
I was just making a story. Can you just
let me know? An incestuous story.
Incestuous story.
No, really, the analogy you're looking for is you're Archie, and there were two girls named Betty and Veronica.
Oh, that's way, yeah, that's now we're going way back.
Era.
And you lived in Riverdale.
Black and white comic books. I was going to say, it's so strange to have that position because I played goaltender in hockey, but when you're then with football and other sports, even if you're not starting, you're getting on, right? So if you're a goalkeeper or a goaltender, you're it. And if you're not it, like, I can't, it's so hard. Cause I always knew, even if I wasn't starting, I'd be on special teams. I'd be, you know, you're getting playing time. And right. I would say like 19, you know, we were talking about how many Canadian players will play in the World Cup. And we were thinking like 17, 18, 19 was kind of where the number is. There, 19 guys out of 26 will play. There might be a few who don't, but Dane could go through this entire tournament, let's say five games, crossing fingers, five games, and not see the pitch. And that will be devastating and hard.
Well, that's yeah. Also, and then on the other hand, you have to remember that, yeah, he's thinking, yeah, there's, and he'll be told by Jesse, listen, this is a tournament. It's a long process. We hope it's a long process.
Yeah.
Right.
But if something goes sideways and Max doesn't play particularly well, you got to be ready.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be supportive of the other guy too. Like, and they are, right? There's no point in bitching because Max got the job. Mm-hmm. Put your head up your ass and go all sad.
Mm-hmm.
No, get on with it because it happens all the time.
It's a case of, we know Dane can do the job and he'd be fine. But if we do see Dane between the pipes, that ain't good.
That's that true.
Something's gone wrong.
Yeah. Injury or... For Max has bottled it, right?
Yeah.
Do you think any? Listen, I think Max would have been fine as number two. He's that kind of character. But do you think this would have gone any differently if Dane couldn't handle that job and was, you know, one of those egomaniacal goalkeepers that can't be a number two?
Do you think it would have gone differently?
Yeah. Did that have any bearing at all? Any bearing that Jesse knew that, you know what, both these guys, Dane will, he wants the gloves, obviously, but we know he's got a character that allows him to be a number two as well. Does that have any bearing at all?
I don't think so, because I think he would have known. He knows all that beforehand. He knows their character inside and out, watching their, you know, what they do in training, what they do together. Are they part of a team? All those things come into play. So I think he knows that already. That he's a team player and he's not going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless we had like this hyper talented and there was no discussion, there was no debate about who the number one was going to be, and it came with an ego, then maybe that's another thing. And you have Dane and you have Max as the two and three, and that makes your goalkeeper union. But I think all of the guys who are in camp right now, including these training players, have the character and they have the personality and they have the ability to be told bad news and to deal with it and respond well. Otherwise, I don't think you're a part of Jesse Marsh's team.
No, that's true. Yeah,
he sets the status high. But I mean, and we hear this all the time. And it's funny, most coaches do say this about their teams because they're trying to be close to the teams. But it does seem they're a good group of players. There aren't too many egos in there. There's always going to be some egos. But generally speaking, they're a tight group who seem to actually like each other. It's an old adage that you don't know that what a good room is until you've been in a good room.
Yeah. And egos, I mean, in the dressing room and being a problem that way is one thing. But when you walk on the field and you show a little bit of that and you have a little bit of an ego on the pitch, I've got no problem with that. And Dane Sinclair has that. Like, he's got that confidence when he goes on the pitch. Like, hey, I'm fucking number one here. Like, he does. A little bit different than Max. Max doesn't sort of do that sort of thing, but he shows it in his game, like how he just seems to compete and bring his very best for the national team.
I
was just going to say that Craig is kind of a Mr. Miyagi, passing on his wisdom.
Yeah. Have you spoken to Max since the announcement, Craig?
I've texted with him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's happy.
Same thing. Dream come true. Like, come on. Like, I mean, what are we talking about here? He knows exactly what this is about.
Yeah.
Good for him, eh?
He was asked about it in the press conference when Sharms and I were there yesterday. Like, he's back where he started the academy at CF Montreal. He missed out last time, like Forrest said, because of the leg break. Mm-hmm. He gets named the number one, and who knows, this might be his last go at a World Cup. And he gets to do it in his home province, a send-off match versus Ireland before a home World Cup, and with the coach who signed him to his first pro contract. Like, it's the stuff of fairy tales.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And I mean, he was competing against the MLS goalkeeper of the year.
Yeah,
all of that. Like, it's pretty amazing. Yeah, it's a lot to take on.
Well, it was a bit. I mean, I'm saying, was it odd that you had a press conference and this big, huge thing to announce the number one? You don't often see it, do you?
No.
No, but it was fitting of the buildup and the preamble to all of this. It was so overblown. So it's almost like you needed to have a press conference to announce it. And now you can move on.
Yeah. Do you think it was a bit of like the last probably four or five press conferences or things that Jesse's done? It's all been about injuries, 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 you know, negative, negative. Like, even though it needs to be asked and the questions have to be asked because that is the story, this kind of sort of took it away a little bit. And I think a lot of people were pushing, and I think the general public was happy that it was Max.
I think they are. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly
Bane's popular too, right? And it's done nothing wrong. No. But it's something about Max. Maybe it was the broken leg, you know, and that redemption arc kind of thing that Dubs likes to talk about.
Yeah.
It's not just me.
No, it's just you.
A lot of sympathy, yeah.
But, you know, maybe that's why people, they want to see this, what's the word, the term I'm looking for, this, you know, this fallen soldier who gets up and you know, Rambo.
Mm. Yeah.
It's Rambo. Basically, it's our version of Rambo.
That would be a good nickname for Max.
It would be. He's
true.
Built like a brick.
Rambo. Perfect.
Yeah. Rambo is
cut. He's like sewing his arm up. Fuck this. I'm going back out. Give me that needle.
Oh, what a terribly amazing movie Rambo is.
Yeah. Yes. That's part of the it's so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to quickly before we move on. Like Forrest alluded to the swagger and like the persona of Dane. And Max isn't that, but I alluded to his quiet confidence and how he's able to imbue that into the squad, the players in front of him. But there is just something about his presence that can't be discounted. That's not swagger. That's not arrogance. That's not crazed and Emmy Martinez, right? Like but it's just unwavering confidence and self-belief. And he just seems to be the right fit. And I've spoken about playing in front of a goalkeeper that you don't have 100% confidence in. And it introduces a little like chink in the armor where like you might not be thinking about it actively when you're playing, but it absolutely plays into your head on crosses, on set pieces, any directives that you're receiving from your keeper. And I just think the way that Max, like shot stopping, I think they're very, very close. And Forrest, I'll pass it over to you after this because you can speak to the goalkeeping metrics much better than I can. I can read the numbers, but you can really talk in depth about it. I think the distribution, I think Max probably has a slight edge, but being that keeper sweeper, playing behind a high line and really towing that line between the risk and reward and just understanding the timing intuitively, he just seems to do that. He has like a second nature ability to go. And sometimes you're going to get burned, but I think also his ability to respond after a slight mistake. Maybe it's the experience. I also give Max the edge there. So I love the energy that he has. It's that calming influence, but it's also just the belief to be behind the guys and then also reciprocated by the guys in front of him.
Yeah. You know, and I think a lot of this comes with experience over a period of time. He's 32. Like he's right in that sweet spot for a goalkeeper. He's at his very, very best as far as I'm concerned. So going through all those different types of things, injuries, coming back, broken leg, rehabilitation, where's my career going, missing the World Cup, disappointment, excitement, won the MLS Cup final. Like it's, you know, it's a roller coaster of emotions. And when you get to 32, you're kind of like, okay, things don't get too high, things don't get too low. And you're able to sort of even keel yourself a little bit. You've seen just about everything you're going to ever see in football, deflections, angles, everything. You're just ready.
Yeah.
You know, and he's in that space right now. He's ready. He's ready as he's ever going to be.
He's unflappable. I think that's the word that I've been looking for.
Yeah. And he was going through when he broke his leg and going through texting him about that and, you know, keep your head up, keep fucking like working, things are going to change. Don't worry about that. You know, all this kind of stuff, like you're missing the World Cup. Fuck, I know you're disappointed. But he was like, no, I'm rehab's going good. I'm working hard. I'm every day, just one day at a time, blah, 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 the same shit. But he lives it. Like it's one thing saying it, but he lives it. Like he actually, it's true. He's not making it up. He was just incredibly driven. And we've also finished his career too, whatever he decides to do.
We've also talked about, Craig, how lonely it can be in that rehab room, right? Like
Well, Marcelo Flores is dealing with that now, right? Yeah.
Surgery today, I believe.
Pardon me? You guys, surgery today, Sharm said.
Surgery today.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did you guys see that picture on social media where he was watching the Uzbekistan match?
Yeah.
Tough.
It's just like if the images from his injury with the face blanching and the shock and being carried around by a teammate, if that wasn't like a knife to the heart, like this just, I don't know, there's something like more about it.
There's another reference. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, exactly. It was just gut-wrenching.
I didn't tell you this story, but when I lived in New York, I was married to Meryl Streep and she left me with my 4-year-old son, who was a white kid. It surprised the crap out of me, but I learned to get along. I helped him out. And then she came back and tried to take him away from me. Mm-hmm. It was really heart wrenching.
But thankfully I had great support from my neighbor, who is a stand-up comic.
That's right.
And his annoying little friend.
Yeah.
And a white guy.
So weird.
Versus Kramer. They should remake that and make it into like some kind of UFC.
Versus Kramer.
Yeah.
It's three Kramers.
We're such idiots.
All pointing at each other like the Spider-Man meme.
You know, there's so many podcasts this morning doing this exact podcast about Max and Dane. Yeah. No one has mentioned Kramer versus Kramer. Rambo.
Brenda and Kelly.
90210.
90210. And that other little weird sitcom that no one remembers.
And Archie Comics.
No, we will need a picture, if anyone's listening out there, of Cosmo Kramer, Dustin Hoffman, and Meryl Streep pointing at
Rhonda.
Kramer versus Kramer.
4 years ago, I mean, not that it's a big deal, but it was also Milan Borjan's goal. When Max missed out on that World Cup, a huge loss, obviously. I'm not belittling that power of that loss, but he wasn't the number one. Now you look at, Dane's the number two. Do you think when Dane made the switch to Miami this past off season, if you told him then that he wouldn't be number one, I think he would have been very surprised.
Yeah.
It seemed to be a great move. And it is a great move. It's still a great move.
Yeah.
But Inter Miami have not had a great start to the season. Certainly defensively.
Defensively. They win 4-3. Like,
yeah. It's a great team to watch.
He gets exposed a lot, too.
Oh, does he ever?
I mean,
yeah.
That back line looks old now. They look like they're all from Scarface.
Oh, hey, another one.
Another one. But yeah, I mean, Messi gets to be the hero him and, Suarez get to be basically the heroes every match by potting. Oh, we need 4 more goals. Okay, let's score 4 more goals. Right?
Maybe not Suarez anymore though. But he didn't make the Uruguayan squad, right?
Well, he's still potting them for Miami.
Last game.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Now Jesse did kind of mention the injuries. Of course, he has to at some point. Moyes not training so far this week. Oof. As we discussed last time. But Alfie Jones was in full training yesterday, which is great news. Replacement for Flores, there's no rush, Jesse Marsh says. But Dubs, he did mention Jaden Nelson's name.
Mm-hmm.
By name. Which, is that a suggestion that perhaps Jaden would be the replacement if, say, Alfie is good to go and they don't need another center back cover, which we discussed over and over with Ralph Priso. Do you think, because you mentioned Jaden Nelson, that might be the guy?
Maybe. But I think for Jaden Nelson, I think you've got two more matches, right? You've got the Ireland game tonight in Montreal, then you've got that closed door match. I think we see Jaden Nelson a lot. We see he's impressive. He was arguably the MVP of that match. He brought everybody to life via that left wing. And you know, the defensive shift that he put in, we talked about it yesterday with Asa, what he lent to that match is that creative dribbler, like willingness to have the ball at his foot all the time and to take on defenders and create things for others. So that was impressive, but can he replicate it? Can we see that type of performance and that type of quality again from Jaden Nelson? But I think Jesse Marsh is looking at him as a like for like replacement for Flores. I think he's the player with the profile and the class on the ball that can offer that. But then also the question marks for Ali Ahmed and Jacob Schaffelberg. So your left wing all of a sudden where you had depth, like besides Liam Miller, you've got, you know, three guys now. You've got one who's out and you've got two more who are uncertain. So you've got Jaden Nelson who can fill in there. And then your back line, you can make switches up until 24 hours before your first match. So I think that's what you're looking at. And he said they'll know more probably after this weekend. And whether or not that's when the replacement is announced, we'll see. I think if I'm Jesse Marsh, I'm waiting as long as possible to make this decision. But I think you do make that swap. And then you wait and see how Bombido and how Jones come along, because those for me are the biggest concerns for Jesse Marsh right now. It's not actually the swap for Flores.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah. And with Jaden Nelson, when step one for him was the minutes that he got in that match against Uzbekistan. A lot of stands over there in that area. Mm-hmm. He needed to be noticed. You needed to be impressive and get your coach to see him, you know that. And him mentioning his name tells me that he opened his eyes. He saw what he did, and it was something that's in the back of Jesse's mind. So now step two is doing it again and replicating it, like Dub said. And then if he does that, shows some consistency over this few games and the closed game as well, he could very well work his way in there. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously his goal, and he's – step one, done. See what happens.
I've got Eminem's Stan in my head now. Dun, 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 dun. No, that's Dido.
Dido.
Yeah, Dido. But yeah, there's a similar little. Anyway, that's not important.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, right?
Without being able to sing it myself.
Can I mention something? Because Dubs just mentioned our friend, our Footy Prime West Coast contributor, Asa Rahman. Asa, stay out of the comments section and making comments on Twitter. He's getting a little too comfortable, isn't he? Reading in there, telling people that, hey, I'm glad I'm winning this. And, you know, usually it's us telling Dubs to stay out of the comments section. Asa, stay out of the comments section.
Is he defending himself or is he basking in the glory?
He's basking in the glory.
Oh. He's like, basking, okay. But he's also bantering.
Yes. It's great. It's so great to have him on the being out there in Vancouver and telling us what's going on. And you know that a lot of the things he's talking about with Jaden Nelson and Ralph Pizzo that could happen, you know, it's a good insight because he's a strong Vancouver Whitecaps proponent and he watches them all the time, which makes a huge difference, right? Yeah.
You bang on. He sees them week in, week out, training the whole deal. So you're really getting a good picture of maybe a biased picture, but I think there's some East Coast bias too in a lot of ways. Just about everything.
Well, I love how he's pumping Jivan Bedwell's tires a lot because this kid does excite, I think, all of us. Yeah. He's really good. And I know there's been a call for him to, you know, he could be a replacement for Flores. Well, that ain't happening. But in 4 years' time, there's a very good chance that he might be starting for Canada, right? If you listen to Asa and the West Coasters who watch this guy, you know, week in and week out and at training, they can't speak more highly of this, a young, creative player, the type that we haven't got outside of a Marcelo Flores necessarily. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. I had a really interesting point regarding Jaden Nelson. Oh, no, Ali Ahmed. So I'm not sure you probably saw yesterday Dubs at training. What we saw of training, he was training by himself or with a trainer, but he was running hard.
Yep.
Oh.
Which bodes really well. In a straight line, what we saw, which, you know, it's
but good, being timed and taking a look at numbers and things like that for his 10-yard split and maybe like close to 30 yards.
Okay, Dubs, what does that mean? Like, what should I take away from a timed workout and a sprinting workout compared to what we saw Alfonso Davies doing yesterday? Like, tell me what the
difference is. Think, you know, Fonzie is really far off. Right. Like he continued doing, you know, like marching and high knees and kind of a track type warm up where it's not quite plyometrics, but you're getting into like the fast feet and all that movement like that. And it was interesting to see Ali started off jogging and then Bassong joined him. And then they were doing a similar type of warm up, like these Brazilian warm ups that you see footballers do. And then it increased very quickly in tempo and intensity. And as Sharms mentions, and it's important to underline this, it was no, you know, turning in lines. And you see footballers now in their training, they're being tracked on like a curve because there's really no straight line running in football. But if you're looking at like a flat 10-yard time or like a 40-yard time or something in between, you're doing it from point A to point B in a straight line. But he was doing it. It looked to me like it was 100% and they were looking for him to push to get close to whatever his baseline is and comparing the two. And again, I'm speculating. I'm guessing what they were doing, but that's what it appeared to be.
Yeah, I think you're right. They probably have metrics doing this sort of thing when they're fit, they're healthy. 100%. And then you go back to that and go, okay, now what you're doing, even though it's a straight line, are you at 95, 90%? Like, where are you? And I think that gives you a pretty good gauge in many, many ways, even though you're not taking corners. And
remind me again, what was the Ali injury? Like, was it was hamstring. It was hamstring. Okay. So it was ankle at last summer and then it was at the Gold Cup and then it was hamstring now. Okay.
Yeah. With Norwich. And then they'll also be looking at his recovery from that. So it's probably that's the most he's been pushed in like a controlled setting. And then you look at those numbers, even though, again, it's very controlled, it's in a straight line. How is he responding to being pushed?
Right.
As however close he was to his baseline numbers, how does he feel today? What's his body telling him? What's his hamstring like?
Yeah. And self-confidence too in that hamstring to open up as opposed to, I'm not going to give it 100% because I've worried about it.
It used to be, you know, you see a training session and all these coaches with whistles. Now they've all got iPads.
Yeah.
And you see these players, you know, doing their thing and then coming over, having a little chat with the trainer, looking at an iPad. It's changed so much. And what of note, so Fonzie's got his own personal trainer out there. Now, I've got to confirm this, but it seems that this guy came from Bayern Munich. And his name, I think, is Jonathan Krukow.
Is he part of the club?
Of Bayern Munich, I believe so.
Okay.
So I'm going to, I probably shouldn't be, I've got to confirm this with Canada Soccer today, but I think that's who the guy is.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah. But someone told me that he has, is a former, what is it, Olympian pole vaulter?
Decathlete.
Decathlete, sorry. Decathlete, that's right. Yeah.
Well, he did pole vaulting. I was there. Yes.
You were right there beside me when yeah, exactly. And I already forgot what, although there is pole vault in decathlon.
Yes. Well, that's what you very quickly focused on. Yeah. You're like, well, Fonzie's going to be great at the pole vault.
Yeah.
I wrecked it.
No, but I saw a picture of you guys, and usually it's Dubs who has FOMO because she's in Montreal. And I was sitting there going, they're having too much fun without us, Gregor. I was like, that's unfair.
Because of your absence, actually.
Oh, that's mean.
But yesterday also, I mean, this means nothing, but I know Jesse had some pretty intense one-on-one chats with John David and Kyle Larin. Now, he may well have had intense conversations with Tenny Oluwaseyi as well and Promise David, but I noticed it was John David and Kyle Larin. So let's speculate that they will be the starting up top. If not tonight, then next week. Just pure speculation, but I think there's a very good chance that
was this reported or you saw it because you were there?
We saw it. Just, listen, we see 15 minutes of warm-ups and one touch. That's all we see, really. It means nothing whatsoever, but we had to report on what we see.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that it, not that you can't draw conclusions from those conversations, or like if they look like intense one-on-one chats, they know who the 11 is before yesterday's training.
Yeah. The ideal 11 anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like who's playing the match. That's already known.
Ireland tonight, a very young Ireland as well. A super young Ireland. It's interesting, actually. Mm. What do you expect to see tonight, Dubs? Like, do you expect to see a close to a starting 11 for Canada?
It's interesting. I'm going back and forth. I think it's a similar 11 that started on Monday. Obviously, with some notable absences, including Bumbido. But I think you're looking. You have to make decisions about certain players based on their fitness, but you also have to start to build and create cohesion and fluidity in the way that you're playing. And so that's via partnerships and getting players accustomed to playing next to one another, and the interchanging and the rotations and things that are automatic in this style of play. I think especially out of possession. I mean, obviously the fluidity going forward and the attacking fluency is hugely important. Because we know that this team has struggled to score goals in open play. But I think the way that their shape is knitted together and the triggers for the press, and I think that is something that Jesse Marsh is going to be targeting in this match. But I think we see a lot of the guys that we saw to start the match on Monday.
I'm interested to see where Alfie Jones is, you know, because it's always going to be difficult for him because he's been out for so long. It's hard to flip a switch, and I don't know him well enough to know, you know, certain individuals can deal with that pretty well, step in and look like they didn't miss a beat. And then other people, and other players, they need 10 games before they get themselves into that level. So it'll be interesting to see how much time he gets and what level he can play at over that period of time.
Well, it's positive that he played those minutes on Monday. He's in full training today. Didn't train yesterday. Didn't train on Wednesday. Was in full training on Thursday. Imagine he'll get significant minutes tonight.
I don't think he starts, though.
You don't know? No.
I don't think he starts and gets like a half and then he comes out. I see it more as DC starting again along with Dufoujerol. And then Alfie coming on as a sub. But we also haven't seen Joel. So like, where does he factor into that?
At all. Exactly.
He needs minutes for sure.
You know, some of the comments, by the way, I mean, there's people just don't watch enough football. People criticizing Joel on the comments and why Prizo should be in there instead, and how, you know, Prizo's better than Alfie. And like, everyone's allowed their opinions, they are. But just take a breath and just think about where these players are in their development, in their careers. Okay, Joel is a starting MLS center half. He's a great career story, will not let you down. He's not a star. That's fine. Brilliant teammate, by all accounts.
Smart guy as well. Smart understands guy. What is asked of him.
Yeah, exactly. He knows that you know, if everything goes correct and right, he's probably not playing at the World Cup. And that's okay. And Alfie Jones is, I mean, we discussed it yesterday. No point getting back into it, but a starting center half for one of the top teams in the league championship. It has been for some time. And Ralph is an emerging talent who looks to have an extremely high ceiling. But it takes time to get there.
Sharms, four years ago, it was Stephen...
Vitoria.
And what I was reading in the comments was a lot about profile and set plays and height. Yeah. And I just keep thinking, Joel, kind of... I know Alfie is a taller... person too, athlete, but Joel kind of fills out that Stephen Vitoria smart, knows what's expected of him. Get in, like protect set plays, corners, all that. Be an elbowy kind of pushing back line guy. And I sit there and I go, you know, for anyone taking away from Joel, I always go, he's got a great profile, and to Dub's point, he's smart. And smart goes a long way in any sport.
Well, don't forget, Vitoria was playing with no ankles last World Cup.
Right.
Still played well. Yeah. And was outstanding on set pieces in the attacking half.
Yeah.
At that near post. He was so good at just flicking balls on. I'm not sure we had that this time around. Haven't had a chance to see the the starters enough because they've been injured for
right,
so long.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How tall is Alfie Jones? Pretty good size, right?
He's over 6 foot, I believe. Yeah. I mean, is he 6'2" maybe?
Yeah. That's what I would guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he'd know all about defending set pieces.
Mm-hmm. Playing in the championship, right, Craig? I mean, that's freaking physical and direct football, right?
Physical. It could be direct.
Six feet three.
Yeah. Big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, mm-hmm. that's a good profile, and that's really what you want. I mean, especially against Bosnia, right? I think a couple big boys and like set pieces, and who's going to mark Dzeko?
Well, you know, we're not mentioning Cornelius that much, right? I mean, who is coming off, you know, a sparse time in his career, and as you guys mentioned, didn't look great, looked rusty in that last match. Mm-hmm. He needs minutes.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said him. I said DC. I thought that he would start because of that very reason. Nice. Yep.
Yep. Right. Right. Interesting.
Yep.
Sure is.
I have a big question unless you have some other stuff.
I would just have one. I have one.
Yeah. Are you ready? Yes,
sir. Oh. DJ Mello D.
I just put $5 on bet with BetMGM app on Canada. $5 pays out $7.90 at 1.58.
Just so friendly, you're betting on a friendly. At a boy, yes, and bulls. Yes,
I'm all in with Canada. I know. I look. My expectations aren't high, but that's me as a fan. But as a bettor today, we're going to have a really strong match against these young kids. No one's going to get hurt. And tomorrow against Vermont Green, we're also going to come out of this. What is it? Scatheless?
Unscathed.
Unscathed.
Right. Scatheless works, I suppose.
I guess.
There's a lack of scathing.
There you go.
Lack of scathe. When you just roll in a John David goal for good measure and up those odds.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late now because I already put the $5 on.
Or you can still do it again.
What's that?
A promise goal?
Yeah, because his goal was offside. Hadn't really tested the left foot. Fucking roofs it. Yeah. And then it's called offside. And Jesse's like, yeah, top bins on the left foot that hadn't really been tested. So it'd be great to see him get another one like that, but have it count this time.
We were talking with some of the TSN guys yesterday about stupid terminology in sports and soccer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And top 90.
Upper 90?
Upper 90, wasn't it? Was something that's big in North America. I hadn't heard that before. Have you heard, Craig? So top shelf, top bins is upper 90.
Upper 90?
Stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like only upper, in the U.S.
Upper V?
Just U.S., is it?
But is it an angle thing? That. Is it because the goal, it's this part here?
That would be right.
I've heard it in hockey.
Yeah.
It actually isn't a bad one. I mean, I hate it because it's not what I'm used to. But it's
you
not
hate anything that you're
I hate
not
it
used
because
to.
It's different.
Yeah,
it's different. I don't like change and difference.
You should see Jim kind of on the TTC bus. Just
nice shot with your head. How do you shoot the ball with your head like that?
That's right.
That's a good one. What is called in French? In French, it's like top bins, like in the right in the corner, top corner, dans la lucarne.
C'est quoi la lucarne?
Lucarne is that angle, that top. Oh. Yep.
I remember we were in the airport. I don't know where we were in the state somewhere, and we're all in our uniforms. And I remember this guy coming over and going, "Where are you guys from? From Canada? What are you guys? Got some kind of ball hockey team or something?"
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah.
Some kind of ball hockey team?
Yeah. Maybe we should try that.
Dubs, okay, by the way, gave me a great tour of Montreal yesterday.
No, yeah.
And I feel that I can speak a bit more French now than I could yesterday.
It was mostly me swearing at other drivers.
It was actually.
Did you try speaking French, Charms?
No.
I was trying, yeah.
Did you?
Oui.
Oui.
Great effort. But something else we can add to our footy picks is I want to mention our YouTube. We are very close to 4K, so like, subscribe as usual, but please follow us on YouTube. We're at 3,991 subs, and I said, to that end, based on our footy picks here, do we think Jesse Marsh uses more than 9 subs tonight?
What did he say yesterday? He was asked that question, wasn't he?
Yeah, if it was going to be, he said it was going to be not quite the, you know, the wholesale change that he did at halftime where he did make the 9 subs, right?
Yeah.
Well, initially, he made the 2 subs in the first half, and then I think it was only DC and John David who were on the pitch who had started the match.
Does he have enough healthy players to do 9 subs now?
I'm saying,
how many are they allowing? Is there a number or is it unlimited? 10?
Probably. Don't know.
For sure. I can't really remember what the answer to that question was. Maybe
it's virtually unlimited, right? I mean, you're
although I think it's considered an international still.
Mm. Right.
But I'm saying less than 9 for sure.
Right.
But will we hit 4,000 before the end of the match? That is the question that everyone is wanting to answer. And I'm going to suggest yes. We're hitting the big 4 today.
Yeah. We've run out of friends. We've already got them signed up.
We're making new friends, Forrest.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Maybe if they're real friends, they'll sign up to our Patreon, which is active right now. $3
Look at that. You're guilting people if you're a real friend. $3 a month, please.
We do this every day. Well, close to every day. And we're going to be doing it every day in the World Cup.
Yeah, we are.
At 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? $3. Don't be fucking cheap.
How to win friends and enemies with James Sharman.
Yeah, that's right. That's way to go, Sharps. That'll get us signed up.
And subscriptions just dropped. That's
right now. If I leave Footy Prime, will you sign up?
We just lost one of our 3 people.
That's right. We only needed 9 more.
How about a big question? Yeah?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Except you've got to give me more notice here to roll this in. Oh my gosh. Talk amongst yourselves. Ring, ring. What's that sound? It's a big question that needs answer. Ring.
What was the question again?
All right. So there's so much about ticketing and these stadiums not being sold out. But ticket prices going down because FIFA are realizing, we misjudged the North American football audience. Will North America deliver the atmosphere a World Cup needs? What do you think? Wongo, let's start with you. This is kind of down your alleyway, so to speak.
It is. I don't know if you guys read the newsletter last week, but I put my top 5 things I'm thinking about, top 5 things I'm looking at for the World Cup. At the top of the newsletter. And the one I was looking at was the vibe, whether FIFA has screwed themselves with ticketing, whether true fans are going to be able to afford it. Will municipalities who've bid on these games to get them here are going to come out poorer than they are when they went in because of how FIFA has handled this, the geopolitical situation that's been going on. And I'm not convinced yet. I mean, there is a great buzz that wasn't there a week ago. And I think we're excited about it. Mm. But outside the bubble, you know, with hockey guys, I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced yet. I want to be. You guys know I love a good dance in the morning. I love, people don't understand how good this is to start the morning when we get dancing. We're doing footy picks and Dubs singing her big question song. I'm like it's the best thing in the world. But I'm trying to be enthusiastic for everybody else and trying to bring them in. It's not an easy sell. How about that? It's not an easy sell, and we have to work hard at it. As I now point at myself as a soccer person, as a football person, we have to do a better job at selling it, being more inclusive, not getting so triggered with hockey people and going, hey, maybe with what are you saying? But my point is, I'm not sure yet. I want everything to work. I'm enthusiastic. I'm hopeful. It's the hope that kills you, AKA Craig Forrest.
I think they'll end up filling the stadiums, but there's going to be a lot of pissed off people because there's going to be people that paid for, give you an example, Bosnia against Canada, $2,300 for tier 2 per ticket. And there's going to be people sitting next to them that paid less than half that. that's going to piss people off.
The
atmospheres, I think, will be okay.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be like they would be. And it's not going to be like a league game in Argentina by any stretch. Even the Americans, the Outlaws, it sounds as though they've given them a section high up and not traditional right behind.
Oh, that'll be the same. I bet that's the same in most stadiums. I bet you.
Mm-hmm. Carrie Ryan was saying that's similar to how the Voyageurs were given their tickets or like their allocations. It wasn't behind the goal, which typically you see with supporters. It was all over the place. So very difficult to coordinate chants and things like that to support your team outwardly. So FIFA, Wonger, you said that they've screwed themselves with the ticketing. They've screwed over their true football fans and then screwed over themselves because the atmosphere is not going to be the same.
Well, if you're the guy on the big bass drum and you're by yourself somewhere with no shirt on, it kind of changes everything. Who's the creepy guy walking down the street?
Some old billionaire who's getting really annoyed.
Yeah. That's the only chance you have a guy with a drum is you got some eccentric billionaire.
You can't even bring in reusable water bottles for Christ's sakes, let alone a drum.
Yeah.
Piss off.
Yeah, but I'm not sure about all that. The reusable thing, you can't go in with a bottle anywhere, especially with a top on it.
But you could go in with an empty like Starbucks mug, and they wouldn't go through your backpack and say, oh, you're not going to get that. You can't bring
that. They're worried about missiles, like thing, you know, being able to fill it, sealing it off, and using it as a torpedo. Like it's just.
But you could do that if you could buy one. It's the same thing.
Yeah, but do you think
they take the lid off.
And they pour it in a cup.
Yeah.
So you just have flimsy cups that you can try to weaponize.
In El Salvador, they figured that out. They wouldn't even sell bottles because they know they would plug it somehow. So they would just give you a drink in a plastic bag. And you pull
a sip sack.
Yeah.
Poke your straw through it.
Yeah.
Drink it, but then they would pee in it, seal it off, and then use up
as a missile.
As a missile.
A pistol.
No, you're in trouble.
That's a pistol. You're in trouble for sure if that pistol's coming towards you.
Yeah. So I don't think that that's unusual. And I think that people have jumped on that saying, that's a disgrace. It's all about, I think, safety. Can you imagine if they started tossing stuff on the ground, on the pitch, these bottles that are sealed off and
But do you think though, Craig? Do you honestly think that the type of fan who spends a grand on a ticket is the kind of fan that throws a missile onto the pitch?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's not what it's for. It's for Coca-Cola. It's for and that sponsorship. And Dasani is their water of choice for Coke.
And it won't just be cheap water, will it? Let's be honest.
No, it'll be a $7 bottle of fucking water.
Yeah, Dasani is only filtered.
Filtered
water too.
Water. It's sink water. Yeah.
And having money doesn't preclude you from being a hooligan. Like I've seen plenty of badly behaved rich people, right? Maybe they just don't have the wherewithal to do any. Okay, fine.
Because it comes from a disenchanted.
They're not discerning. You still have your elitist hooligans.
No, there's some for sure. Yeah. I mean, back at that, it's proven there's a documentary years ago in England. Craig probably saw in Panorama about the firm culture in England. And there were doctors and lawyers who needed an escape on the weekend.
That's true.
Look at the Vancouver Canuck riot. There was a bunch of entitled rich people walking around there after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This thing, though, reminds me of the whole thing about sitting beside some guy who paid half the amount of the ticket than you did. It's like going to a hotel with Jurgen Klopp. Isn't it?
Should have checked Trivago.
But as far as the the vibes, the atmosphere of this World Cup, I mean, it's more than just the stadiums, right? It's around the stadiums. It's going to be the fan zones, the bars, the patios, the Canada House in Vancouver and Toronto. I hope that brings it. I do. And I think it will once the tournament kicks off. And just it doesn't need to be an officially sanctioned bar or place anyway. It doesn't need to be. It could be a local pub. And I hope, even though you can't use the word World Cup or watch party, because God forbid they'll come down on you. You can still show games and really nurture that vibe and that atmosphere. And I think that'll come alive in the World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think overall the whole buzz of the cities will be very good. It'll be fun. It'll be joyous. So I think it'll be excellent.
But I think we see much less traveling fans. you know, the throngs of Dutch fans dancing in the street and Argentine fans, all these traveling fans. Like, I think Gary Lineker was talking about it, like an Argentine fan going to Qatar or selling his car to get there. It's not going to be enough this time. And it's true. And so there
are a ton of fans who
are priced out. Yeah. Yeah. And your next of kin's house.
Yeah, that's right. A couple of kidneys.
Yeah.
And your next of kin.
Yes. Next some of places. Kin me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
They're after your wallet. They're after your wallet for sure.
They certainly are. But I'm confident, though, all that noise will go away the minute the football starts.
It always does.
It always does.
It does.
I don't think it will this time.
You don't?
You don't think so?
I think the football will absolutely take over, and that will be the driving narrative of this World Cup. But just underneath that will be the political climate, will be the ticketing, will be all the people who couldn't make it. And I think that will go away, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
I hope so. But remember Qatar? Did human rights go away? Did the dead migrant workers, did that go away? It kind of did.
It did.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
I mean, I've talked to reporters that went to Russia and Qatar, and they're actually more worried about going to the States. That's crazy.
That is absolutely crazy.
Well, did you see that there was I don't want to F this up, but it's a referee got his visa. He's either Ethiopian or Somalian, and Somalian, and he had his visa denied for the World Cup. So he's like, help, I'm supposed to be refereeing a game. Like, what are they doing? What are they going to do?
There'll be a lot of that going on. That's where the Peace Prize comes into play.
Of course.
You got to give a call to Donald to sort things out, or whoever the people
are. Well, I have a story about that. No, I'm just
kidding. No.
Let's not go there.
No, you won't have the Dutch fans, the Orange, but you have the Grand Orange in another capacity.
That's right. Yuppie.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's call it a day, shall we?
It was a great show. Thank you.
Kickoff. Less than a week for the actual kickoff. So that's dead exciting. That's our week of Footy Prime. Back on Monday, we're going to, as well as obviously covering Canada in depth, as we always do, we'll start looking at some other teams perhaps next week.
Plus big announcements on Monday, right? We'll be able to tell people things that we may not will be found in other places.
Yeah. I think we actually mentioned it last show without it being official.
Yeah. Well, it's still not official, is it?
No, but it's going to happen. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just There's a big it? Thing should that needs again? Announcing.
Now we're going to tease it. We'll wait till Monday, just in case.
Okay. Yeah. Just in case it all goes pear-shaped over the weekend.
You never know with us.
I think it wouldn't be the first time. Wow, this is great. What happened?
Yeah.
Oh, no newsletter this weekend. Our friend CT is in Montreal, so no newsletter. So just if you're waiting for one, sitting by the porch waiting for the newsletter.
If you are waiting for one and looking in just assess your life right now. Right? But it will return. But in the meantime, get on our Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, make sure you like and subscribe. And 9 viewers away, subscribers away on YouTube to 4,000. The big 4,000, which to most media companies isn't very much, but to us, it means a lot.
It does.
It does.
It's huge.
Huge. It is. In fact, actually, we've been told that we've grown extremely quickly compared to most.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah, I know. Jesus Christ, so freaking immature.
It's a pretty pathetic sex pep talk, isn't it?
Other people told me it grows really quickly.
Grown extremely quickly, and it's gone.
Yeah. Better than done. Most.
Because of you, baby. All right, we're out of time. Thank Christ. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll chat to you on Monday. Enjoy the match tonight. Canada-Ireland, 7:30 from Montreal.
Come on, Rambo.
BetMGM, make it legendary.
Now, Max.
Rambo was filmed in Canada, too.
That's
so
right. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Hope, British Columbia.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And name the chief of police, if you guys can remember.
Sipowicz.
No. No, like the actor. Do you guys not remember the actor? Brian Dennehy. He was a staple in the 80s. He was in every movie in the 80s.
Yeah.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm assuming he's dead.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think he's. Yeah. Oh shit, I can turn this off.
Oh my god.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.